Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
So let's read today's passage. It's in Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 40. Here's what it says. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hangs on these two commandments. So our passage today opens with the Pharisees asking Jesus a question. But the fact is, they were not trying to learn from Jesus and his teachings. They were trying to trap him. They were trying to get him to slip up and say the wrong thing. The religious leaders wanted Jesus to be arrested because he challenged their authority. He claimed to be the Son of God. And he was accumulating followers that believed what he was saying over what the Pharisees were saying. And if you look in the scriptures leading up to today's passage, they tried to trap him with questions two other times. The first one being a question about paying taxes to Caesar, and the other question being about resurrection. So here, an expert in religious law is asking Jesus the question. Other translations say scribe or lawyer. And when you think of the term lawyer, you might picture a suit and tie in a courtroom. But the law here was the law of Moses. What's amazing is this expert in the law asks a simple question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? He wants to get a summation of all the law. If you haven't been in church much and are asked how many commandments are in the Bible, you might think 10. You know, the Ten Commandments? Well, that's not right. The Ten Commandments were unique because they were written by God on stone tablets and given to Moses on Mount Sinai. But if you actually read the Bible, you find that there are 613 commandments in total. Now, I don't know about you guys, but that's a lot of rules. What's even crazier is that the rabbis would break down the 613 commandments into 365 negative commandments, which are 365 things you're not supposed to do, and 248 positive commandments, which are things you're supposed to do. I don't know about you guys, but that is very overwhelming. Like, I can barely keep track of 10 things I'm supposed to do. And the thing is, guys, the Bible is so much more than a rule book. It's God's love letter to us. But what this makes me think of, all these commandments, it makes me think of when you're driving and you pass by a cop. I don't know about you, but the first thing I do is check my rearview mirror. I could be going the speed limit and I'm not doing anything wrong, but maybe I am doing something wrong. Maybe there's some traffic laws I don't even know about. The point is, 613 laws, how could anyone follow that perfectly? Praise the Lord for Jesus and that he is the completion of the law and he fulfilled it through his love and through the cross. And here, Jesus boils down all the law and gives us the God-designed way of living by telling us what the two most important commandments are. So, if we want to get it right the first time, we need to know that the art of living is loving. And more than a couple months ago, I gave a message on 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, and I'm pretty sure it had the same point in there. The art of living is loving. So how do we know this? Well, verse 37, love the Lord your God. And verse 39, love your neighbor. We were created to love God and love other people. It's why God has us here on this earth. It's not easy, but love is the point of this life. Now, love in the Bible is not the way we talk about love today. The Bible has all these different words for love in the Greek with different meanings, but today we just have the word love. And I love a lot of different things. I love to eat. I love video games. I love being part of Bethlehem's church family. But the thing is, if I love my wife the way I love food, I got a big problem. Because when you love food or whatever it is, you love it for what it gives you, for what you get out of it. And that's not the love that the Bible's talking about. Most of the things our culture and our world loves are things that I get what I want from it. But the love that the art of living is all about is a love that gives so that others may have life. Jesus invites us into a life that says, real love sacrifices. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So ask yourself, how are you doing cultivating a life of love that is giving, not just receiving? See, this system is built entirely on the fact that Jesus loved us all so much that he died on the cross for us. There's no greater self-sacrificial love than that. Jesus models for us how to love. I heard this from a pastor, so I am borrowing this, but it's really easy to remember and it stuck with me. And what it is that from these verses, we are living in three different directions. These three directions are upward, inward, and outward. The first direction is living upward, and that is loving God. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And in Mark's gospel, it also adds strength. And this is a direct quote from Deuteronomy 6:5. Or in other words, it's living upward. What I want to point out is that it says, love the Lord your God. It doesn't say love the God. And this is so important because it's meant to be personalized. We are meant to have a personal relationship with God. So ask yourself, is the Lord your God? And God has done everything possible to be your God. He sent his only son to die for you to make that personal relationship with him a reality. But we still have to choose to be in a relationship with God. I think of when someone says they found their soulmate. Is it really your soulmate, or did you have to choose to say yes to that person and say yes to them every single day? In my opinion, love is a choice. And unfortunately, marriages fall apart because a spouse can stop choosing to love their partner. And that might be because maybe one of them got hurt, and instead of continuing to say yes, they started to say no. But I share that because we have to say yes to God. We are called to love God with the totality of who we are, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength. With our heart, which is our emotions and our desires. With our mind, which is our thought life. And with our soul, which is our identity, and allowing the Spirit of God to work in us. Loving God is the first and most important commandment, because how you love God is going to dictate how you live inward and outward. We can't do the other two if we don't love God and have a personal relationship with him. Now, what does it mean to love inward? It means to love yourself. Where do I get this from? Verse 39 says, to love your neighbor as yourself. However, a lot of people may think this sounds weird or might struggle with this. Love yourself? Like, that sounds super selfish or wrong. Well, it is wrong if you love yourself without loving God. Without God, you don't know how to love yourself. It can turn into, I'm going to do whatever I want to do or what feels good. It turns into, everything is about me when you love yourself without loving God. To avoid this, the thing we have to realize is that God loves you, and your identity should be found in Christ. You can't love yourself the right way without knowing this. I believe that the biggest reason why Christians, and not only just Christians, but people in general, struggle to love themselves is because they believe the lies from the enemy. They believe the lies that Satan tells them. They believe the lies of, you're not good enough. You're a failure. You'll never change. No one will love you. You'd be better off dead. Just give up. I know in my life I've struggled and bought into some of the lies of the enemies, and sometimes still do. The thing we have to do to overcome this is believe what God says about us. You're redeemed. You are so loved. You're my child. The only way to truly love yourself is to see yourself through the cross of Jesus Christ. It's why Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. When you love yourself based on God's love displayed in the cross, that will allow you to see yourself as God sees you. Think about it this way. For the person who says, it's all about me, I'm amazing, I got this life figured out. Well, no. Jesus had to come on a rescue mission and give up his life so you could be saved. Maybe I'm not so good. I need a savior. And for the person who hates themselves, maybe even to the point where they want to take their own life, to that person, the cross says, you are so loved that Jesus came to rescue you, that you are of such value that God would give his only begotten son for you. Now, instead of feeling absolute self-hatred, you're saying, I am more loved than I could ever imagine because Jesus would die for me. I share all of this because in order for us to live outwardly, we have to know how to live inwardly the right way. Not a selfish love for ourselves, but having our identity rooted in Christ, knowing where our love comes from. So lastly, we come to living outward, and that is to love others. Our upward living, which is loving God, leads to inward living, which is having our identity in Christ and knowing how to love ourselves. And then that leads to outward living, which is sharing the love of Christ with others. The commandment says to love your neighbor as yourself. And this actually comes from Leviticus 19:18, which is kind of crazy because out of all the 613 commandments, Jesus quotes two verses, one from Deuteronomy and one from Leviticus. And I mean, how often do we read Leviticus? The question we have to ask ourselves from this is, who is our neighbor? And the answer to that is everyone. Well, the tough part about this is that Jesus also says to love our enemies. So even though someone is your enemy, they're still your neighbor, and we are called to love them. Now, I have a story from camp where I did not do such a great job of living this out. One of the things I love about the high school boys is we're able to joke around with each other and sometimes give each other a hard time. And it's all fun and games until someone actually strikes a nerve. And, some of the guys kept calling me a name, and I just brushed it off because I knew they were just goofing around and trying to get under my skin. And it's not important what they were calling me. You probably don't want to know. But then one night, I was starting to get tired of being called this name, and it just really, really made me mad. And we were out at the canteen, and I had a slushie in my hand. And when I was insulted without thinking, I threw my slushie at him and said, stop calling me that. I'm serious. And as soon as he left to clean slushy off of himself, I thought to myself, I should not have thrown that slushy. That was really dumb of me. I need to go apologize. The moment I walked into the cabin to apologize, he apologized to me first for calling me an inappropriate name. And I apologized for throwing the slushy. It was a growing moment for both of us. But in that moment, I did not love my neighbor as myself because I wouldn't want a slushy thrown at my face. What I should have done is pulled him aside and said, hey, what you're saying to me is actually really hurting me, and I would really appreciate it if you would stop calling me that. I share that just as a practical example, and it's fresh in my mind because camp was literally last week. But on a deeper level, what we need to know is that a person will never be able to love other people until they experience the love of God for themselves. You know why? Because God doesn't love you because you're lovable. He loves you because God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 8 says this, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." A big challenge with loving outwardly is that a lot of times we think, well, that person, they don't deserve my love. And because they don't deserve my love, I'm going to withhold my love. But can you imagine if that's what God did to us? If he withheld his love until we deserved it? That's a terrifying thought, because if we're being honest with ourselves, how often are we really deserving of the love of God? It's because of his grace and the fact that the very essence of God is love that we receive the love of the Father. In the world today, too many people feel justified not to love people because they're not deserving of it. The fact of the matter is that real love does not need to be deserved. It just needs to be given self-sacrificially. And that's the message of Jesus. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18 says this, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth." So from the greatest commandment, we see that the art of living is loving, and that this God-designed way of living is loving upwardly, loving inwardly, and loving outwardly. And this is not just something that happens. It's something that we have to put into practice. It's something that we have to open our hearts up to and allow the Spirit of God to grow in us. So, as I close, I have a couple challenging questions that we have to ask ourselves, and I have to ask myself these same questions. Think about where you are at in living upwardly, inwardly, and outwardly. For upwardly, do you love God with everything? Do you spend time with God? Do you talk to God? Do you read his word? For inwardly, have you allowed the cross to teach you how to love yourself? Is your identity found in Christ? And for outwardly, is there someone you're withholding love from? Are you loving others not because they deserve it, but because God is love? And for the person who doesn't know how to love God upwardly, for that person, Jesus is there for you. Jesus died for you. Jesus gave his life on the cross because we're sinners and we deserve death. But God in his grace and his mercy sent his son to die on the cross to take our punishment. And all you have to do is say yes. Say yes to God and believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.